Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course, and we can't wait to see you there. Welcome back. We are on number 8 in our 15-part series titled Scrum is Hard and Disruptive, based off of a white paper written by Ken Schwaber back in 2006 with the same name. I'm Ryan. That's Todd. We're professional Scrum trainers of Scrum.org. We're just taking a look at these comments or these statements that Ken put together, just seeing how they've held up and dissecting them along the way. Like and subscribe. Let us know in the comments what you think. All right, Todd, we have another one. Maybe you want to read this one out. I've been reading them. I think people would like to hear from you.
Maybe they do. Maybe they don't, Ryan. But since you put me on the spot, sure, I'll read it.
let us know in the comments. Do you want to hear from Todd?
Do you want Todd to read things? Now the pressure's on. All right. So the most serious impediments to using Scrum are habits of waterfall, predictive thinking over the last 20 to 30 years. These have spawned command and control management, belief that demanding something will make it happen, and the willingness of development to cut quality to meet dates. These are inbred habits that we aren't even aware of anymore.
Boom.
You say that this was 2006, right?
Yeah.
17 years later, and we are still fighting against predictive thinking, Ryan.
You could copy and paste this, post it on LinkedIn, and get 100 applauds within an hour. Yeah. This is still as true as it was 17 years ago. It is just as true today. I guess we'll start at the top. The most serious impediments to using Scrum. So and I think we'll call these organizational impediments.
Yeah.
Right? Habits of waterfall. So this is the phase gating. This is the approvals at every step. This is UAT, user acceptance testing. This is all of the reviews and phase gates and approvals and change control boards and the PMBOK getting banged over every developer's head. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, although we don't see the usage of that increasing. I don't see it being called directly PMBOK or waterfall. I see the mindset, though, right?
I see it called safe.
Thinking mindset. What's that?
I see it called safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is called safe. PI planning, I think, is predictive thinking. Now, yes. Yuval Yuret would argue that that's not the intent of it. The pure idea behind it is not that. But the way it's implemented most of the time, is predictive thinking. We're going to plan what we're going to do the next 3 months, and we're going to do that. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Unfortunately, a week into it, everything changes. Nobody wants to admit it. We just go by what we said we were going to, our commitment, and we drive to the end. And some of the things in here that happen, quality, morale, all the things suffer.
Yeah. I'm talking with a former client or a person at a former client right now who is in the middle of a death march, which is another waterfall era predictive thinking type of term. And it's miserable. It is still prevalent today. You know, if you think over the last 20 to 30 years when Ken wrote this, he's talking about what, the 1970s, mm-hmm. early 80s. I think you can just add, you know, over the last 30 to 40 years now would be a good edit. Command and control management has certainly still kept a foothold. I will say it, I think it is starting to pull back a bit. I don't know if that one is as prevalent as it was years ago. Maybe I'm just delusional, but we're starting to see signs that management's thinking about their practices a lot harder than perhaps they used to.
I agree. And I wonder if some of that is a testament to the generations that are entering or have entered the workforce, right? That have a reaction to this. I think that they're, they've grown up in a different era. And I think that as they enter or have entered the workforce and then enter management positions, that this becomes less a, I need to control things, and more a, I just because it's out of my line of sight doesn't mean it's outside of control. That's a quote from a Gladwell book. But just because it's out of sight doesn't mean it's out of control. I've really stood by that when I've been in management positions. So I don't need to have my hands in there all the time. So, I agree with you on that. I think that we're changing there. It's been a very, very slow evolution that you still run into. But this predictive thinking sentence just keeps popping out to me because I feel like we really haven't gone that far from that. You still see people saying, I need to know when it's going to be done, exactly what it's going to be done, and exactly what it's going to cost. And that happens over and over and over again. And no matter what angle we take to try to get rid of that, to say, listen, we are coping with complexity. You know, we can tell you what today's weather says and promise you that we're going to work as hard as we can. But come back and see us tomorrow. It's like, no, I need to know right now. And that kind of predictive thinking does keep roots in command and control management because they want the update on how good things are going instead of the reality of how things are actually going.
Well, and that feeds into this next part where belief that demanding something will make it happen and the willingness of development to cut quality to meet dates. I like how What I've always appreciated about Ken's writing is that he does tend to take a balanced viewpoint. He's not just blaming bad management. He's also throwing some heat towards developers saying, hey, you shouldn't be cutting quality to meet these unreasonable demands. Like that is not, and that's why we're called professional scrum trainers and we teach the professional scrum master course. That's why professional is at the top of scrum.org. I think Ken has always been very keyed in on this idea of professionalism, and professionals do not cut quality to meet dates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we're still doing it, Ryan.
Oh yeah. We still see it. And I think things are getting better. Like I tend to err on the side of, you know, there's no better time in the history of the world than today to be alive. You know, I'm optimistic that things, even though they look bad on the outside, are progressively getting better. But this is one, Todd, where perhaps there's a boat anchor holding us back.
Yeah. I do think that technology in the past, 17 years has helped to curb this a little bit with the, 17 years ago, heck, CICD wasn't nearly as easy as what it is today. And then all of the stuff that you can do with test automation wasn't where it is today. So I think that has certainly helped. And then kind of looking at the next sentence, these are inbred habits that we aren't even aware of anymore. This kind of goes with, I think you've probably heard me say a million times, humans just want to know what the future is. We want to. I think it might be ingrained in our brains to want this predictability, to know that tomorrow is going to be better than today, to know that it's going to take me 17 minutes to drive across town to go to the gym, to know that my kid's going to get off the bus exactly at 3:11, which time that, right? Like we're ingrained with this. And if it deviates from that a little bit, there can be some panic there depending on your personality type. Some people are like, meh, it doesn't really matter. But others are really just need that like surety. I think it is built into who we are is that craving for surety and predictiveness. Well, but we live in an unpredictable world.
And to balance that out, like Ken did, there's also that eagerness to please, that eagerness to have people like us, the eagerness for affirmation or approval. And I think that's where a lot of the bad developer decisions come from. It's, yeah. Well, I don't want to say no. I don't want to let anybody down. I don't want to show that I can't do, like, there's all these things that pile into it, you know, that need for, or that craving for predictability coupled with the desire to be to please others, bad combo, really, really, really bad combo.
It is. And I think this relates to a little bit of what we were talking about in the last video. We have to fight against that. You know, it's a little bit swimming up a upstream river to do this. But I think with some of the tooling that we have now, like an evidence-based management framework where it paints a reality of where we are, is very helpful for these kinds of things. Like, we don't know what we don't know. Instead of maybe thinking about that deadline that you want and you want all these things in here, let's think of the customer and what's best for them at this very moment, not what was best for them 6 months ago. Because the evolution of customer has never been as fast as they are today.
Well, unfortunately, within Scrum, there is an accountability in place to raise awareness of these bad practices, of these inbred habits. And there's that same accountability is also accountable for bringing tools like EBM to the forefront to combat it and to bring transparency into a team situation. And that's the Scrum Master.
Yeah.
So Scrum Masters, this indictment of Scrum practices, especially in this, in number 8 here, kind of is aimed at you.
Yeah.
And if it hit you, we weren't trying to miss you. So this is one to really take to heart. This is really a big part of the gig. And we hope that, hope you start working on this if you haven't already. Well, Todd, we're kind of at that 10-minute mark.
Yeah.
I think we've covered it. We want to know, though, if that's true. So we want to validate that this has been useful. So like and subscribe, hit the bell, leave us a question or comment. We'd love to know what you think. Check out the socials. We've been very active lately, especially on Twitter and LinkedIn. And there's even some Instagram stuff getting posted now. Todd, can you believe it?
I'm not on Insta, so that must be you posting it.
Oh, it is. Some videos are going to pop up. It's our two free courses, Scrum Master 101 and EBM 101. Check those out. Dig in. They're great courses. We put a lot of time and energy into them. They are great starting points. They can help you get going. And we hope they are useful. For Todd, I'm Ryan. Go forward, Scrum on. We hope you're enjoying this series. We'll see you next time. Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!